प्रतिकल्पेयम् यत्कृतामेषु सत्तमै। Matajis. अस्मासु टू अस अप्रतिकल्पा इनकम्पेरेबल इयम दिस यत सिंस कृत अज्ञेषु हु आर ऑब्लिवियस ऑफ द मर्सी दैट हैज बीन शोन देम सत्तमय by those who are most saintly, maitri, friendship, arpita, offered, afala, unreciprocated, cha api, even though, na nivartate, it does not cease, karhichet, ever. Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Indeed, the Supreme Lord must have created the bonds of affection, for such exalted saints as you have never stopped showing matchless friendship towards us ingrates, although it has never been properly reciprocated. Text number 63. Previously, dear brother, we did nothing to benefit you because we were unable to. Yet even now that you are present before us, our eyes are so blinded by the intoxication of material good fortune that we continue to ignore you. Purport. While living under the tyranny of Kamsa, Vasudev was unable to do anything to help Nanda and his subjects defend themselves against the many demons sent from Mathura to kill Krishna and Balaram. Hare Krishna, very small purport. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadanti Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam tam sajivam సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ పదా సగణా లలితాం శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపీశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ సుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసది గౌర భక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామో హరే రామో రామ రామో హరే 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 కృష్ణ. Seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas. I was once sitting in a class which was given by a very elevated Srila Prabhupada disciple, and that purport also happened to be very short. So she made a very interesting comment. She said that Srila Prabhupada, as he was, and of course that was the purport that was given by Srila Prabhupada. So she said that Srila Prabhupada never actually gave anything which was not commented upon by the previous acharyas, specifically Vrindavan Das Thakur. And following in the line of Srila Prabhupada, we can see also his disciples who must have done so much of extensive research before they wrote their purport, that wherever the acharyas had not commented too much, then they also did not give too much of their purports. And then she went on to say that a small purport means a small class. But then she ended up giving a class of 1 hour. So please bear with me if I give also a very small class. The purport is small. I am not to be blamed. So we are continuing with this discussion. Nanda Maharaj is now about to depart, and Vasudev, after a whole wonderful ceremony, is expressing so much of sentiments on the departure of Nanda Maharaj and the entire entourage that came along with Nanda Maharaj. So we can see in the olden times how it was that everything was so personal. So one could have, actually now here Vasudev is saying so many wonderful things about Nanda Maharaj. But then in a few verses before, we saw how it was that when Vasudev was expressing it, he actually caught hold of the hands of Nanda Maharaj. And he was, you know, telling him whatever he is telling him now. So this is a very wonderful thing that, you know, unfortunately, with the advent of technology, we are seeing that there is so much of corruption and, you know, in our personal relationships. I remember about 25, 30 years back, you know, there was no concept of email, right? What to talk about a cell phone. So everything would be done by way of letters, right? So suppose you wanted to communicate to someone, you would actually sit down and write a letter, right? It could be either an inland letter or what's the other thing called? Sorry? Postcard. So, we still remember what it was. Nobody ever writes those things nowadays anymore, except some old, you know, maybe 70, 75 year old person wanting to communicate to his relatives who doesn't have any touch with technology. But today, with this advent of technology, we see that everything has become so fast, right? I remember that, you know, before we go to our native place where we'll be spending like a couple of months every year, we would write to our relatives telling them that we are going to be coming over there, and invariably, you know, we would be maybe exchanging 3 or 4 letters in a year, that's all. So when you actually met, there was so much for you to talk about. Right? There was so much for you to spend time together and, you know, really, you know, relish whatever has happened during that whole past 1 year that you have not met. And, you know, people would actually spend hours just talking and chit-chatting and conversing. And but here, now, in this present day of fast technology, you know, you are in touch with that person practically on a minute-by-minute basis. Right? Even if you are going to America, you are, you know, the moment you leave from here, you're telling that person that you have boarded the flight, and, you know, and nowadays emails are available even on the plane. So you are sitting on the plane and then conversing with the person whom you are about to meet. So when you are actually meeting the person, there is hardly anything for you to talk about. Right? Whatever you have spoken has already been spoken. And naturally, then you find that when two people actually meet, there is nothing for them to actually talk about. And it was really sad that I was seeing, you know, on this recent trip of mine in the airports, everywhere you go, you see the husband, like there is a family traveling together, husband, wife, their children. Everybody is having their own cell phone and everybody is on their own cell phone. Right? So the husband is, you know, doing whatever he is doing, the wife is doing whatever he is doing, the children are doing whatever they are doing. And for extended periods of time, this whole family doesn't even talk to each other. Right? Except maybe, you know, like there is something to be eaten or some, you know, needing to go somewhere or something like that. Other than that, there is no conversation that is taking place between them. And this is really the unfortunate part about technology, which has come and directly impacted relationships between families. Of course, in one sense it is good because that is also gradually making them detached from each other, right? Because otherwise the tendency is to, you know, spend so much of time together and actually get attached. Like there was this very wonderful class that was given by Srila Prabhupada in 1973 in London, where he was talking on this verse number, on the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text number 26 and 27, which basically talks about, you know, we are seeing the armies assembled on the battlefield, and then, you know, Arjuna is seeing all his relatives over there right in front of him, and, you know, he becomes completely disturbed, and, you know, that compassionate streak in him comes out. And then Srila Prabhupada is talking about the relationship between the families and how is it that the attachment to the families makes us, you know, completely entangled and takes us away from Krishna, right? Of course, this lecture was given almost 40 years back, where there was no technology. But Srila Prabhupada was trying to make the point that Arjuna was compassionate towards his relatives, although they had done so much against him, right? An unbelievable amount of harassment was suffered by the Pandavas from the Kauravas. But yet, when it actually came to the situation where these armies are assembled on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna becomes completely bewildered, and he had to actually tell Krishna that I'm not going to be fighting. And Srila Prabhupada makes the point that, of course, because Arjuna is a devotee, you know, because a Vaishnava doesn't want to be hurting even an ant, right? And Arjuna, although he had faced so much of, you know, harassment from his family members, but still when it came to a situation that right in front of him, the family members were there and Krishna was by his side. Right? For sure, the outcome of the battle was known well in advance. But still, Arjuna was so compassionate that he did not want to, you know, attack his family members. So this is the nature of a Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada is saying that, you know, he doesn't want to be any way harming, you know, even an ant. What to talk about his kinsmen, and right in front of him, they were not only his kinsmen, but elevated personalities like Bhishma, Drona, right, Kripacharya, who are actually, in one sense, directly his spiritual masters. So, family relationships, Srila Prabhupada was mentioning in that very wonderful class, are a cause of bondage. But the only family relationship that can actually sustain you in Krishna consciousness is where Krishna is at the center. Right? If the families keep Krishna at the center, then that family relationship is not one of bondage. But actually that family relationship elevates our consciousness and makes us to advance in our Krishna consciousness. So this personal dealings between Vaishnavas are actually what holds us together in our own Krishna consciousness. Whether it is within the family that we belong to, the small family, right, of our immediate relatives and so on, or whether it's the extended family. If the personal relationships were not there, right, so why is it that when two Vaishnavas come together, they embrace each other and then they, you know, hold each other and then they talk very nice words about each other, they glorify each other. Why? Because that is actually the foundation of our spiritual life. And without that, there is actually no meaning to our spiritual life. Right? We will not find any rasa. Right? It will just become like any mundane club that two people come or a few people come together and then they, you know, associate with each other for a short period of time and go back and forget about it. There is no further, you know, connection between them. But in an assembly of Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, what is the thing that holds them together? It is only the personal relationships. It's the affection, the warmth, the love, care that is shown. And this particular episode of between Vasudeva and Nanda Maharaj actually highlights this particular point, how it is that these two individuals, although they have known each other for so many years, right now we are looking at a situation where Lord Krishna was already there with his children, with his wives, and you know, so it obviously they have known each other for several years, but yet the relationship between them is so strong because Krishna is at the center of that relationship. Otherwise what will happen is that if we do not keep Krishna at the center of our relationship, then our association will become extremely mundane. And we may not even appreciate, you know, the whole practice of the process of Krishna consciousness, and applying that into our life will not actually give us any enthusiasm or any rasa or nectar, right, that we all experience when, you know, we are in close proximity of a Vaishnava. Like recently I was traveling in an airplane, and it so happened that you know, the seat allotment between me and my wife was such that, you know, I was given an aisle seat and my wife was given a window seat, and there was a seat in the middle that was vacant. So when we approached our seat, we saw that there was one lady who was sitting on the middle seat, which was her seat, and right next to her there was one more girl sitting. So then we took out our tickets, and I just wanted to check for myself whether I'm actually seeing the correct seat or not. And then I saw, yes, it was. So I told this lady, you know, that this is our seat and we need to sit over here. So then this lady, you know, she belonged to a particular religion where they cover their head, and, you know, so I could make out, and she was an Afro-American lady. So then she looked at me and said, you know, who would be occupying this seat right next to me? I said, you know, this are our seats. So obviously you're sitting in the middle, so it'll be me and my wife who will be sitting on either side of you. So she said, no, how can I sit next to a man? I can't be sitting next to a man. It's not within my religion that I can sit next to a man who's not my husband. And then of course she saw us wearing tilak, and she said, see, just like how you have certain practices in your religion, we also have practices in our religion, and we don't have a man sitting right next to us in our religion. So I said, ma'am, but you know, this is a commercial aircraft and you don't have a choice, you know, where your seats are allotted. It's just a, you know, your seat is allotted right in the middle of two. It's not my choice either. It's not your choice either. It's just that the allotment has taken place like that. What can I do? No, it can't be, you know, you have to go and sit somewhere else. And, you know, she really started making a scene. And then I had to call the stewardess and explain to her, and then the stewardess, of course, you know, she was very accommodative. She accommodated her in some other place where she was right next to her relatives. And then I was just observing this, you know, she looked very, you know, religious and pious, and, you know, this is a very wonderful attribute to have, that you don't want a man sitting next to you. You know, it's a very chaste behavior on the part of a lady, right? No woman would want a man to sit next to her for a, you know, and it was a 14-hour flight, so naturally, you know, she would. So I was just thinking, meditating, you know, that's a very good nature to have and very good behavior and all that. But then, and the seats that they were having were right in front of us. But what I was observing is that during this entire 14-hour flight, both the daughter and the mother were continuously, either they were watching movies or they were sitting on their cell phone, watching something over there, and switching channels. Actually, I could see that they were so much agitated. You know, their mind was completely, you know, going all over the place. They were, and of course, nowadays in an international aircraft, you have almost like maybe 100 channels that you could potentially watch, right? All sorts of movies, games, everything. And she was there, you know, she was not able to focus her mind on any particular channel. It was moving all over the place. And, you know, so many different channels she was. And then she was eating all the food that she was getting from the aircraft, from the airline. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, that, yes, this lady is very pious, religious, but where is the philosophy, and where is the application of the philosophy in her life? As Srila Prabhupada has told us that Krishna consciousness and sense gratification go ill together. Right? So here you are seeing a family who externally is extremely pious, religious, and very, very chaste in their outlook. But then when it comes to their personal life, there is absolutely no restraint on what they are doing. So they have accepted some aspects of their religion without understanding what is the essence. The essence is that we have to be detached from material sense gratification in order to be really religious or pious. Right? That's the essence of Krishna consciousness philosophy, which is what Srila Prabhupada has given us, that this process which, you know, makes you over a period of time detached from material sense gratification and makes you attach closer, makes you attached to Krishna. Right? So then I was actually thinking to myself that our philosophy, we are so fortunate to be part of this philosophy, which has given us a complete, like, we didn't mind whether this lady was sitting in the middle or not, because that's not the way Srila Prabhupada has trained us, right? That, you know, if a lady is sitting next to you, that there is anything that, you know, that you are affected by it. So, we don't have that conception, but here's a lady who had the conception that she should not be having a man sitting next to her, but in her behavior, there was complete, you know, misunderstanding of what she should do in order to conduct her life. And I'm sure that her personal life, even outside, must have been, you know, one of sense gratification. Try to enjoy the senses as much as possible. So there was obviously a disconnect between her practice of a religion and her behavior, right? And for sure, any practice of any religion where there is no restraint over your senses and trying to, you know, control your mind and senses cannot in any way be sustaining over a long period of time. We know that, right? We are so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has given us that complete understanding, right? There has to be a gradual decrease in your attachment to your senses and increase in attachment to Krishna if you want to make real, tangible, spiritual advancement. Right? And that's what this process of chanting does. Right? Cheto darpana marjanam bhava maha davagne nirvapanam. This whole process of cleansing of this heart comes through this process of chanting. And Baldev Prabhu had asked me to specifically talk about the glories of chanting the holy name. So although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had, you know, at various times he said, what is it that is actually the definition of a Vaishnava, right? When the devotees from Kulinagram were actually leaving Jagannath Puri to go back to their respective homes, and one of the devotees from Kulinagram asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the first year, who is a Vaishnava? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that anybody who chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra even once is to be considered as the topmost Vaishnava. And then the next year, this devotee is again asked the same question, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that anybody who chants a Hare Krishna Maha Mantra constantly is to be considered as a topmost Vaishnava. And then finally, the third year, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked this question as to who is a Vaishnava, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a complete different answer. He said, who, just by looking at, you are inspired to practice Krishna consciousness, such a person is to be considered as the topmost Vaishnava. Right? So, of course, he gave a gradually increasing, definition of who a Vaishnava is. So, in our Krishna consciousness movement, there is a tremendous emphasis on chanting of the holy names. In fact, Srila Prabhupada has said that 99% of our advancement comes from chanting. And all our other activities have to be so well arranged that we are able to do this particular activity to its best, to the best of your ability, to the best of our ability, right? So that is the reason why in the morning program we sit together and then we actually chant our rounds together, right? That again, is because of the, we all sit together out of personal relationships. Right? Out of our affection for each other, we all sitting together and chanting our rounds. The most important activity we are actually doing in the association of devotees, where it has the maximum amount of potency. Right? So, our goal should be to chant our rounds in such a way that somehow or the other we are able to, gradually reduce our attachment to our senses and increase our attachment to Krishna. And of course, the best recommended time is early in the morning during the Brahma Muhurta hours. Right? So that will keep us actually focused in our Krishna consciousness throughout the day. If we were to chant our rounds early in the morning, all our rounds we finish before the Shringar Darshan, then for sure we experience that our whole day goes so nicely, right? And if in a particular day we are not chanting our rounds in the morning, but then then the rounds actually get drags on throughout the day, then we realize the difference that today my consciousness is not what it was yesterday when I chanted my rounds in the morning, right? So the quality of our chanting actually affects our consciousness throughout the day. So we have this whole morning program that has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada, by which we finish our rounds first thing in the morning, right? And of course then we have the entire day available for doing other aspects, other types of devotional service, including of course for some of us who have the taste for chanting more than 16 rounds. I don't have. You can chant more rounds, right? So which is also one of the aspects of devotional service. So we're very fortunate, and at least I was, from this particular example of this lady, appreciating what Srila Prabhupada has given us, a very wholesome understanding of how one can practice Krishna consciousness in a very practical way, without being fanatic, without taking some aspects of Krishna consciousness up into our lives and becoming so fanatical about it, right, that we actually put people off from our own religion, right? So that's not what Srila Prabhupada would want from us. He would actually want us to preach the philosophy in such a way that we would want to attract people to our movement and not take them away from our movement. So as I said, it's a very small purport. So thank you very much for your very patient hearing. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Otherwise, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.